Right, would you stand with me one more time this morning as we turn to page 564, count your blessings, name them one by one.
So much. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Psalm 103, and we're going to be looking at that psalm today and looking at our song of thanksgiving. This is what it is. This is our song of thanksgiving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God in heaven, Lord, thank you that we have this month of November, this time that we call Thanksgiving. But God, you bless us every day. Your mercies are new every morning. Every day you dump mercies, blessings all over us. And we miss it. God, forgive us for that. Forgive us for focusing on praising you only during November instead of every day, praising you. Help us as we look at your word today. I pray your spirit would change our hearts, our minds, and how we look at the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have this holiday coming up. It's a national holiday. A man-made holiday. It's called Thanksgiving. It's a good thing, too. Okay. Now, if you were to talk to me this morning beforehand and ask me how things went last Friday, okay, while I was sitting in a tree stand 17 feet in the air, it's 16 degrees and there's a 20 mile an hour wind blowing in my face. It lasted for about an hour and a half. And I had to get down, and I'm walking through the woods, and the blessings started coming from every direction. And I would just go on and on and tell you my hunting story from last Friday, okay, and how I tracked this buck for hours, climbed up in a tree, waited for him to walk underneath of me. I left my gun back at the tree stand. Oh, no. That's right. I had a pocket knife. And I opened that thing up and clenched between my teeth. I dropped down onto this deer. I grabbed that. Well, we won't get real graphic here. And that would be a lie anyway. That's not how it happened. But it wouldn't matter that I still have a little tickle in my throat, carry over from last Sunday. Man, I got meat in the freezer, okay, from last Friday. 2 days later, I'm still talking about it. I got meat in the freezer. I was bitter cold, but it doesn't matter. I got meat in the freezer, and my dogs have some more antlers to chew on, okay? Great for dogs to chew on. They love those things. And what am I focused on? The meat in the freezer. The great experience that I had. Politics in Illinois haven't changed. The miles of my car haven't decreased any. The work in my basement still has yet to be done. Everything else in life that Thursday I didn't like is still there. But I'm not talking about it. What's the difference? It's what my mind is focused on. I'm thankful for the blessing that God provided. And that was just one. I got to see my grandsons. I got to spend the night Thursday night, spend a little bit of time with my grandkids, and got to put them to bed. And the next morning after I got the deer, I went back to my grandsons. Papa had to show them the mighty hunter has returned. And they wanted to see Papa's deer. They prayed for me that morning that Papa would get a deer, okay? So they take him outside. I slide open the side door of the van. You should have seen their eyes. You should have seen this chest. Yeah, Papa did that. And they're like, Papa, it's a buck. Yeah, I know. Another blessing. I wasn't talking about any of the stuff that I was Thursday. It's because of what I was focused on. As Christians, we have a myriad of reasons for giving thanks. We do. And yes, we can spend all day here piling up. Using the screen behind us to, as you guys shout out suggestions of things we can be thankful for as Christians, I could have them put up on the screen. Nothing's changed in Illinois politics. Nancy Pelosi hasn't had a heart change and gotten saved. Okay. The presidency hasn't changed. What's going on in our culture and the activists hasn't changed. But for a brief moment, what were we doing? Focused on praising God for his blessings. And yet, God's word tells me we should be doing that every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Just like I've been praising God since Friday about the blessing that's going to be in my freezer here shortly. And while I'm praising God, guess what I'm not doing? I'm not complaining about things in this world that I don't like. It almost, in my mind, and maybe in yours, and maybe as we look at this passage here, it's almost suggesting that if we're spending time talking about things we don't like, that kind of feels dirty when you look at what we're supposed to be doing, which is praising for the benefits and the blessings that we have. This particular psalm was written by David, and it was probably written when he was an older man. As we go through this, you'll see the language of a man who has experienced life. Most of us in here have experienced life to some degree. Some of you have experienced more than one life, probably, with the stuff that you've experienced. Experienced the serious consequences of sin, we've done that, and the awesome forgiveness that comes from God because of sin. Spurgeon said this of this psalm here, as in the lofty Alps, some peaks rise above all others So among even the inspired Psalms, there are heights of some which overtop the rest. This is an amazing Psalm. This is one of those. The Psalm is a mountaintop of praise. Let's look first at the request that we find for thanksgiving. In Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." David is speaking to his soul. He's telling his soul, praise. Soul, praise. You, soul, bless the Lord. He's trying to stir up his inner man to praise the Lord. More than just words, like if I were to ask you right now, okay, Thanksgiving, what are some things to be thankful for? And you would start shouting out your Sunday school answers, okay? Those are just words coming from our head. David's trying to affect his inner man here. He's saying, bless the Lord, soul, do this. Do we have to do that? Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes we don't feel like praising, do we? Perhaps David right now is in, I don't know, a spiritual slump. Perhaps he's just having a bad day. We have those. Perhaps his praise isn't as vocal or as frequent as it should be. So he challenges his soul, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. He's telling his soul to bless. Okay, if that's what we're supposed to do, that's the verb, that's the action. What is that? How do you bless the Lord? What does that mean? The word bless means to kneel before another in praise and adoration. It's a call here for our soul to give adoration, praise, worship, focus to a worthy God. We are living in a day where there is a drought of praise, isn't there? You're not going to find any praise on the news shows. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're coming from or how neutral they claim to be. There's not going to be any praise. It's all negative. When we come to church, how much praise do you hear? Not sitting here right now, but before and after the worship times. When you go to Sunday school class, teachers, help me with this. Only let there be praise. You'll not find politics in the passage you're teaching from, so keep it out of class. There's nothing positive about politics anyway. Just leave it out. We're here to worship and praise God. And until God's name becomes the governors or the presidents, we're not here to talk about them. Unless we're praising. Unless we're praising. There are just a plethora of complaints all around us. Things we don't like. Things we don't agree with. Things that make us feel bad. Things that make us feel angry. Things that hurt us, things that discourage us, all kinds of these things. And many times we are guilty, as Christians, we are guilty of talking about all those things. We're living in a day when there truly is a drought of praise among the people of God. What would happen if the people of God praised the way God said the people of God should praise? The people not of God would look at us and say, whoa, what have you got to be praising about? And then we say, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about Jesus. We would do well, us here this morning, to stir up our own souls to praise the Lord. So what are some things that we can be thankful for? A little different today. I'm inviting feedback now. What are some things we can be thankful for? Go. Family. I heard family. Health. Food. Always. Yes. Salvation. Church. God's Word. Freedom. In America? Who said freedom? Are you sure? We live in America. Do you know who our governor is, who our president is? Are you sure about that? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We live in a great country. It's got problems. But we live in a great... Pick another country that you think is better. You think about that and you let me know. But before you let me know, you need to know that when you come to let me know what country is better than America, I'm going to say, buy a ticket and go there. Nobody ever does that. So many blessings in food. Someone mentioned food. You know, we before we eat, we pray, dear Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to the nourishment of our body in Jesus' name. Amen. Or something similar to that. It's the same way every time. God always has food for us every day. How do we get that food? Well, we just pull up our phone. Online pickup. We show up. They bring it out to our car. How'd that happen? How did that happen? I was having this conversation with someone about the Proverbs 31 woman and how she worked, didn't she? She provided for her family. She even managed all the servants in her house. Well, I don't have servants in my house. Oh, yes, you do. You have a dishwasher. You have a washing machine for your clothes. You have this thing called Walmart that magically makes food appear for you so you don't have to bake bread. You don't have to mill the wheat to make the flour to make the bread. Okay? We have all these servants. We have all these things that God has provided for us. We are so blessed living in this country. Please stop trashing it. Instead, pray for it. Think about this. Here's something I'll challenge you with, okay? I am so far off on a rabbit trail, I'm going to fall in a hole here in a minute. When it comes to politics, please, okay? If you have to speak and you feel it's your God-given pulpit and platform to speak about all the wrong things about politics, do this. Make a commitment that for every minute you spend speaking about the ills of politics, you'll spend the same amount of time doing what God says we should be doing and praying for them. Have a 20-minute conversation with your friends about Illinois politics, then you need to be spending 20 minutes on your knee praying for Illinois politics. At least that, okay? Equal time here. We can be thankful for children. Bible says that children are a heritage of the Lord. A heritage. That verse of Psalm 127:3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. A heritage. What does that mean? A heritage. This is different. It actually means river. Children are a river of the Lord. Now, it's Psalms, it's poetry, so there's a picture here. Rivers, think about this, rivers can be slow and steady. That's just the way we like our kids, don't we? Okay, slow and steady. But rivers, sometimes they can be torrential, okay? 2 years old, okay? Slow and steady. Teenage hormones, They can be a challenge sometimes, rivers. But here's the thing about rivers. They give life. And they are needed as well. Children are a heritage of the Lord. They are a blessing. Please never complain about children in front of me. Because I will get all super spiritual in your face, okay? These are blessings from God. They are a good thing. And to think that the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, the creator of the soul that you have the charge of, looked at you and said, you are just the one to bring this child up the way I want it brought up. Stop complaining about it. Psalm 102 or 103 verse 2, let's continue with our psalm. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So let's look at the requirement of thanksgiving. Again, the psalmist is intentionally initiating his soul to think benefits from God. But he warns his soul here. David warns his soul of the dangers of forgetting the benefits of the Lord in his life. David warns his soul of that danger. Forgetting the ways that God has dealt with him. We can go ahead and move that up for us, please. Forgetting the ways that God has dealt with him. Sometimes our soul forgets, doesn't it? It has a lapse of memory. Our memory can sometimes wander away from God, away from what God has done and is doing, and it can focus on the negative. We wander from the truth of what we have in Jesus and who we are in Jesus. We are his children. I think all children are special. Okay? I think mine were more special than yours. Sorry. And my grandkids, yours don't hold a candle to my grandkids. But all children are special. And as parents, you understand this, though. Your children, you would die for them. You would do anything you can to make sure their needs are met. We are children of God's. What a blessing. Now, I don't know about you and how you grew up, okay? But I grew up in a home with six kids. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and my dad climbed telephone poles installing phones and fixing phones for a living. There wasn't a lot of extra funds, okay, in my house. And then I would go to school, especially in teen years this started, you know, and you see the other kids and what they wear, the new clothes, okay. I was the oldest boy, okay. My hand-me-downs came from my older sisters. Just kidding. And you think, oh, wow, I wonder what it would be like to be a child in that home. What a blessing that must be. There is no other home or kingdom that we could ever possibly wish to be from other than God's kingdom and God's home, God's family. He's our Father. We are his children, the Bible tells us. We are the children of the King, the Creator, the Sustainer, the one who loves us with a pure and perfect and unchanging love. There were times growing up when I did some things that my daddy wasn't so happy with me. Oh, I'm sure he loved me, but not as much as he did the day before. I kind of made sure of that with some of the things I did. But no matter what I do, God's love for me never wanes, ever. Because it's a perfect love. His love for me is not based on what I do or don't do. It is a perfect love. This is, there is the danger here that we might wander away from him. Praise is kind of like recalibrating, lining ourselves back up. It keeps us tender. It keeps us clean. It keeps us close to God. Praise does that. So, yeah, maybe we need to do that every day. Thankfulness is not an option. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, God says this, giving thanks always. Oh, wait. Let's stop. This is going to be so simplistic. Please don't be offended. How often should we be giving thanks? Always, right? Okay. For what? All things. The good, the bad, and the ugly. giving thanks unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like a sensitive technical piece of equipment, it needs to be regularly recalibrated. Our soul does. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, let your conversation, your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content. Take the verse off the screen. Be content with such things as you have. Be content. If you're content with what you have, are you wanting something else? Nope. If you're content with what you have, are you looking for something better? No. Are you complaining about what you have? No, because you're content. Complaints, they kind of feel dirty when we look at a verse like that. Okay, let's look at that verse again. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Are you keeping the commandment here in this verse? Right here. Thankfulness is not an option. But also praise is beneficial. How so? How is praise beneficial? Well, let me think. I read in this psychology book one time that if you just repeat like a mantra, okay, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed, eventually you'll start feeling happy. It's more than just a psychological trick, though. Let's go back to God's word, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful, be anxious, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What happens? Verse 7. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, if there's anything virtuous, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, how many of you ever said something without thinking? It's usually not a good thing, isn't it? Okay, you're there with your spouse, and it's an old joke, okay, and I'm sure it never happens, but your wife pulls an outfit out of the closet and says, does this make me think before you speak, right? Okay, and sometimes we all say things without thinking. That's what we say. Do you know that is absolutely impossible to do? Because in order for these vocal cords to make a sound, the brain has to initiate them. And the series and patterns of sounds that it makes that comes out sounding like a word, our brain initiates those patterns and sounds. So our brain thinks those words that we say. So if we were thinking on Philippians 4:8, that big long list of things, whatever is pure, lovely, just, honest, true, all of those things. If we're thinking on those things, guess what we're going to be saying? Those things. That list in verse 8, go back and study it if you want. Okay? Tell me this afternoon if you find it. I'd have never seen in that list there what I don't like about anything. God doesn't tell me to think on those things. But to think on these things. Verse 9, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Here's what praise does for us. It does three things. It brings peace to the heart. It said that in verse 6 or 7. Brings peace to the heart. It brings peace to the mind. It brings contentment when we praise. Can you remember how God has dealt with your soul, there's something to praise about. Let's look at the reasons for thanksgiving. David gave several spiritual reasons that should prompt us to offer thanksgiving and praise to God. Not just in November, but on every day of the year. Look with me at Psalm 103, verse 3. See, we're on the third verse of this psalm already. We're going to finish the whole thing. Bear with me here. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. That's what God's done for us. Two of the things. What do we have? God's forgiveness. Number one, God's forgiveness. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Before Christ, as a sinner, nothing I could do about that. I couldn't do a thing about it. I could try to be a good person, and I did for the first 19 years of my life. I conformed to all the rules of the house, and I went to church when my parents said I was supposed to go to church, and I did the youth group thing. I was a sinner, and none of that stuff I did made me any better. I was just a sinner trying to act godly, and it wasn't working. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, that verse says. But he quickened me. He brought me back to life spiritually. We can also praise him for his healing. Another reason for thanksgiving. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Verse 8, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So we praise him for forgiveness. We praise him for healing our soul. And we praise him for God's redemption. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says to redeem. There's that word. It was in the last psalm passage a couple of times. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Another passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That word redeemed, it simply means we are bought back. And I love that passage there that I just read. If we could have verse 18 back up there again. We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, or from your vain lifestyle, conversation, lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers. Two amazing truths there, okay? What redeemed me? What saved me? What brought me back? God says right there, it's not money. It doesn't matter how much money you give a church, it's not going to get you any closer to heaven. And notice what it said there, verse 18 up there again, please. The vain conversation or lifestyle. Vain means worthless, worthwhile, lifestyle that we received from the tradition from our fathers. So our fathers or forefathers, the way I was brought up, said if you do this, if you're a good person, my church teaches, if you're a good person and you do this and you say these prayers, those are vain lifestyle things. That's not what redeems us. And God tells us that right there. He says, those that believe you can be redeemed, bought back by money or behavior, you're wrong. Verse 19, it is with the precious blood of Christ. We were bought back. That's that word redeemed. We were taken off the marketplace, so to speak. We were released from our debt and set free from the penalties of our sin. That's all in that amazing word, redeemed. In Him we stand redeemed. And it's just Him. So we praise Him for that. And we praise Him for God's grace. Psalm 103, verse 4, it says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies?" We have received grace. We have received that which we don't deserve. What do we deserve? Nothing. If we're going to do the Sunday school answer, because we're in church, we better. But how about when we get home? Men, we walk into, "I deserve respect. I worked hard. I deserve... I wash your shorts. I deserve whatever." Okay. We don't deserve anything. We have received grace, that which is what we don't deserve. We have received mercy and compassion and salvation, eternal blessings that can never be removed. Listen to the description of these things. Now, here's where we're going to fly through Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. This is a description. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger." God is slow to getting angry with us. "Plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." Verse 10, here's another one. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Praise Jesus for that. Verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear them. As far as the east is from the west," here's another thing, "so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It never gets smaller upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them." So we praise him. We praise him as well for God's peace. Psalm 103, verse 5, "Who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Satisfied. Thursday afternoon, most of us are going to be in a recliner. Satisfied. Right? Taking a nap, watching a ball game, whatever we do on Thursday afternoon. Satisfied. Totally at peace. And we have to be, we have been given spiritual satisfaction. And spiritual strength for the journey that God has planned for us. What an amazing thing to praise God for. So we praise him also for God's intercession in Psalm 103, verse 6. "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." How do you like that? Someone's bothering you? God's got them. That's why he said in Romans, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." I don't need to try and get back at that person. They do me wrong, I don't need to take them to court and sue their pants off, because God's got them. God will take care of it. He promises. There's our blessing. He is working and he is doing on my behalf. Think about that. The God of the universe is working on your behalf. We talk about politics, whether it's in politics or in our workplaces, and we try to maneuver and wrangle because we got an idea or something we want done. So we try to get this person to join us, and they say, "Okay, I'll take care of it." We've got their ear, and we're like, "Okay, it's good now. They're going to make sure it gets done." We go to our representative. He says, "I've got it. I'm going to push this through in a bill next fall." whew, we're good. The God of the universe is telling us that He works for us on our behalf. Hebrews 7:25, it says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. We praise Him for God's revelation. Now, in verse 7 of Psalm 103, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The God of the universe, the Creator, the one who made stuff out of nothing. Some of you may style yourself as an inventor. You can go into a shed and see a pile of junk and come out with really cool stuff. Some of you ladies can go into the Dollar Tree, okay, and come out with a pile of junk, and with your hot glue gun and your apple barrel paints, create this really beautiful thing, okay? Not create. You put pieces together to make something. God created with no pieces. Nothing. And He created all of this around us. That's amazing. That is huge. That is power. And that God chose, after He created us, to reveal Himself to us, so we could actually know Him. And we can have not only know Him, but we can have fellowship with Him and follow Him. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, later on in that chapter, God adds to it, and the Word was made flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God revealed Himself to us so we can know Him. We can praise God for that. We can also praise Him for His sovereignty. I love this. This is maybe one of my favorite attributes. Because I'm not saying I like to control things. Not going to say that because my wife is here. She'll remember that. You're just trying to control things. I'm not saying that. But I do like when things are controlled. Don't we all? And when things get out of control, out of our control, plans aren't working the way we wanted them to. People aren't doing what we wanted them to or expected them to or told them to. And it's frustrating. God is sovereign. Look at verse 19 with me of Psalm 103. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. He is in control of all things. And Job 23:10, great verse. It says, but he that knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Yeah, God is in control, and we wish He would control some more good things our way. But God's in control of the good, the bad, and even the ugly that takes place in our life. David closes this psalm by calling on all creation to join him in praise. Do you realize all creation does? Every part of creation praises God. They're doing what God created them to do. And by doing that, they're praising God. All creation praises God except this one right here. The one part of His creation whom He created in His image and breathed into us the breath of life. We complain and we don't do what God created us to do. We don't praise God. The one part of His creation. David is calling for all creation to join him in praise. We have only scratched the surface of His blessings. Think of your family, even the ones you'd rather not think of. Think of your church, your Bible, your material blessings. Oh, but I wish I had more. Yes. Yep. and you've heard me say this before, the poorest person in the United States is still ranked in the top 3% of the wealthiest people in the world compared to other people. Oh, we've got it so good with material blessings. How about think of your health, your food, your air that we breathe here in central Illinois. Even those indicator, they have to smell soybeans, okay? But at least we're not sucking smog like out in Los Angeles. Your home. You have one. With windows? Amazing. Some of us have been in countries where they don't have windows. They don't even have doors. How about your water? Again, the sum that I referenced just a minute ago. We've been in some countries where you don't drink the water. When we left that country, they gave us a pill to kill whatever parasites may have gotten into us. And they said, 2 weeks after you get home, take this other one because they probably have already laid eggs in you and you're going to want to kill the ones that hatch 2 weeks from now. That was nice. They didn't tell us that before we went there. The water that we have, what a blessing. Your clothing. Do you realize most people have a closet? They have so many clothes. They need a closet. And totes in the basement to store the extra ones from the past season. Your friends. Your country. I know. But it's still the greatest country in the world, in my opinion. Your freedoms that we have. Your blessings are enormous. Our thanksgiving, our praise ought to be in direct proportion to our blessings. Are they? Let's just take a spiritual inventory here and thank Him for everything that He has done for us in Jesus, even. We could just start there and then move into the material blessings that He's given to us. Let's bow our heads, please. God in heaven, we are so blessed. We are so guilty of not praising You for the blessings You've given to us. We are so guilty of focusing on what we don't like instead of just praising You for what we do have. If we believe You're sovereign, then the things that we don't like, You're on it. You got it. You got a plan for it even. So help us to trust You more. To trust Your sovereignty, our faith in You. Praise You more. God, I pray that our hearts today would, yes, be convicted about our lack of praise. And that we would just praise You as You direct us to every day. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to...